As we prepare our hearts for worship, hear these words from Isaiah 11, hundreds of years before Christ came to earth. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. The wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp. And the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Would you pray with me? Oh, Father God, our hearts long for this day of peace that your prophet foresees. This day when the lamb and the wolf lie down together. This day when we no longer hurt each other, but we look to each other as brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors. Thank you that Christ came to show us that this way really is truly the way, the story that will win when all the other stories fade away. Our hearts long for him to come again, to make all of this finally come to be. Thank you, O God, that you kept your promise 2,000 years ago in starting this day of peace and inviting us to play a part in this peaceful story until Christ comes again. This morning, may our hearts find rest in you, O God. As we lift up our voices in worship, even in these dark days, would your light fill each and every one. We're here, O God, most of all, because we want to lift your name high, the youngest in this place to the oldest. And so would you be glorified and fill us up as you are. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So during the weeks of Advent, we are looking at different people who were there at the coming of Christ. This morning, we are looking specifically at angels and innkeepers. Do you believe in angels? When you picture an angel in your mind, what comes to mind? Is it John Travolta with wings on, like the 90s movie Michael? My grandpa used to love Angels in the Outfield. And you know the angels from that one? They literally had the white glowing gowns and the halos, and they would come dashing into the baseball field and make the angels, the team, do amazing things. City of Angels. Angels look a lot like Nicolas Cage, which is kind of disturbing. 90s movies had a thing for angels, didn't they? Maybe they still do. I just quit watching as many. I don't know. I think all of our favorite angel has to be Clarence, right? It's a Wonderful Life, sent from God to help George Bailey choose to live. And Clarence, despite that whole every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings, despite that part, his story is perhaps a bit closer to the real angel stories. I wonder if you have any angel stories. A few of you shared some yesterday on our Facebook page that were amazing, good stories. My great-grandma, she passed away the day before I was born, so I never got to know her. But the family tells a story of her own angel encounter. She was in ICU, and the doctors had said that she would not make it through the night. And so they had called all the family in and told them to prepare for her to pass away by morning. And she would say till the day she died that that night in the hospital, when she was all alone, that there was someone who came into her room. And it was someone who was glowing and spoke in this calm voice and simply told her that she was not going to die and that she would live until she saw her husband and her son come to know Jesus. The next morning, she was totally fine. Doctors and nurses were dumbfounded. It's in her home. She told this story. She lived for many, many, many years after that and saw her family come to know the Lord. And she would say that she had encountered an angel. Some of us have stories like that. Maybe not most of us, but some of us. And these are the stories, I think, like what Zechariah and Joseph and Mary would tell if we asked them about their angel stories. Stories of an angel appearing out of nowhere, startling at first, and giving this message of hope and salvation. At their core, that's what angels are. They're messengers sent from God to guide us and to tell us a little bit of what God might be up to in our midst. At times in scriptures, angels seem a bit otherworldly. They show up sometimes through closed doors, and they come with bright lights, and they're strange enough to make the people seeing them cower in fear. So many times their first words are, "Don't be afraid, I'm not going to kill you. I'm here with good news." But these aren't the only ways that angels appear in scripture. Perhaps the earliest appearance of angels is way back in Genesis 18, when those three strangers meet Abraham at his tent. And he thinks that they're just ordinary people, and he welcomes them in, and he feeds them, and he cares for them. And it's not until much later that Abraham realizes that these three were sent from God, that he had hosted angels in his own home. They looked just like ordinary people, but they had a message from God that Abraham was going to be a father. It was the message that made them special, that made them sent. Fast forward to the New Testament, Hebrews 13:2. It tells us that when we care for others, there's a good chance that we are caring for angels in our midst. And so that would suggest that maybe we brush shoulders with angels more than we even know. And so I can't really even know how often I've been in the presence of an angel sent from God. But here's what I do know. I do know that God still sends his messages to us. And God still reveals his heart to us. And God still invites us to hear him. And God still gives us glimpses into what he is up to all the time. The question in 2020 isn't, does God still speak? But do I hear when God speaks? The question is not if God speaks, but when God speaks. Because just like 2,000 years ago, with Gabriel sending a word from God to his people, God still sends his word to his people today. My friends, this Christmas, can I tell you something that your heart might already know, but that is just good to remember again and again? God speaks. And God speaks to you. All the time, there's a word on God's heart for you. Not does God speak, God does speak. The question is, do we listen for God? Do we look for his messengers? Are our hearts actually open to encounter him? Because the truth is, God is always speaking, always. We're just usually too busy to hear him, too distracted to receive his messengers. While Abraham let those three in, if I'm honest about myself, I typically avoid eye contact with those strangers because I just can't be bothered. Zechariah, Mary, Joseph, all of them were in these places of silence and solitude, even of prayer when the angel comes to them. Silence, solitude, prayer. We have so little of those anymore these days. Silence, solitude, prayer. God's very favorite ways of getting our attention and getting to our hearts, they just don't come around as much, not because they're not still available to us. We just aren't in the practice. It's not because God isn't speaking. But maybe we sometimes forget how important it is to carve out some space and listen. Little kids, if you watch them, if you're around them, little bitty ones, sometimes when they want to get mom's attention, they'll always try the first thing, and that's just say her name 1,000 times. Mama. But when that doesn't work, and sometimes that doesn't work because mom's used to hearing her name, sometimes in desperation, these little bitty ones, they will lean so close into their mom's face where it's socially unacceptable. They don't know that yet. And they'll put her chin in their hands like this and grab her face and turn it towards theirs and lean forehead to forehead, eyeballs to eyeballs. And right there, holding the face of the one that they long to connect with, they take the adult's attention off of the phone or the TV or the other voices for a moment, and they just hold her face there, knowing that they have her all to themselves, at least for as long as she will stand it. And you know, sometimes I think that God must get tired of speaking to such distracted ears. I imagine that sometimes our God must want to put our faces in his hands and touch our foreheads to his forehead, our eyeballs to his eyeballs, and say what's on his heart to our full attention. When's the last time we let our Father do that? This Christmas, my friends, look for your angels. Listen for those gentle messages from your Father's heart. Let him hold your chin in his hands. He's there. He's speaking. He wants to. This will be the gift that both of your hearts are longing for. I wonder if that innkeeper had encountered any angels that week. I wonder if God had put any tugs on his heart, a little nudge maybe, to just keep a room open for the neediest people he might encounter in his busiest season. Because thousands upon thousands were descending on that little town of Bethlehem to be counted in the census. This had to have been the busiest week of his life. And he had seen it coming ever since the emperor had said that this was going down. And you can imagine he had spent the weeks before hiring his staff and training the new staff and doing renovations and repair work and talking to all the bankers about how to make the most of his buck in this unprecedented season. His mind was in a jillion places. If he had even seen an angel, how could he have had the time to deal with what it had to say? If he had even felt a tug, how could he have possibly dropped everything to pay attention to what was going on in his heart? There was a business to run, an opportunity that couldn't be missed. And by the time that young couple arrives at his desk that night, what could he do then? The rooms were literally full. And you just can't kick someone out who's already paid and, in all fairness, got there first. I'm sure it was awkward for him sending this very pregnant woman away. But what else could he do? He was out of options. There's only so many rooms. Or was he out of options? This is where we remember Wally. This is a story I tell every year at BCC. It's become a tradition because my heart needs to hear this story every year. Wally was a little boy in a Christmas play. And Wally was big for his age, 7 years old. He was friendly, excitable. Everyone liked Wally, but Wally was a slow learner. And Wally's family had only been coming to church since the summer. And now it was time for the annual Christmas play, and everyone was kind of wondering what role the teacher was going to give Wally. He was on pins and needles the day that they were announcing the roles. The rest of the Sunday school thought, you know, he's too big to be a sheep, but that's the role they usually give to little kids. Perhaps he could pull the curtains or work the lights. The director went down the list. Tommy would play Joseph. Clark and Peter would be the heavenly host. Mary would, of course, be Mary. And then, to everyone's surprise, the teacher gave Wally the role of the innkeeper. And the boy was delighted. He was even going to have a speaking part. And all he had to do was learn one line. There's no room in the inn. He practiced it every day before the big night. And even on the way to school, he'd repeat over and over, there's no room in the inn. There's no room in the inn. There's no room in the inn. And then came the night of the program. Parents took their places. Every seat was filled. The children came out singing, "Oh, come all you faithful." The lights dimmed. A hush came over the audience. The curtain opened. Mary and Joseph entered the stage and walked to the large wooden door that was going to represent the inn, just like that. And they knocked on the door, and Wally came out dressed as the most perfect innkeeper you have ever seen. And in a loud, confident voice, Joseph looked at Wally and said, "Please, sir, my wife is not well. Could we have a room for the night?" Wally was ready for his line. He had rehearsed it all day long. And he began loudly, "There is..." And he hesitated. Started over a little quieter. "There is..." Again, his mind went blank. His cheeks flushed red. His heart began to pound. Sweat formed on his brow. Everyone was silent, feeling embarrassed for poor Wally, who didn't know what to do. After a moment, Joseph thought that he would improvise. And so he started walking away toward where the stable was set up on stage left. And Wally, seeing Joseph walk away in desperation, called out, "Hey, there's no room in the inn. But there's lots of room in my house. Why don't y'all come home with me?" And you know what? That's what the innkeeper could have done. Why not? He could have seen that couple in desperate need and opened his own home for them to come in. He could have been front and center on that night that God himself came to earth and took his first breath among us. Imagine that. You see, the innkeeper, it gets one line in the whole Bible. But it's not just a random one thrown in by Luke. The innkeeper, that is the story playing out in all of us this Christmas and every day. Jesus has come to be with us, to make his home with us, all of us. The innkeeper must decide, even in our busiest, most demanding seasons, if we will make room for him. Will we let Jesus come into our homes, into our hearts, and have all of us this Christmas? Will we push our stuff out of the way so Christ can come and be born in us? That's the heart of it all. That's the invitation this Christmas. Listen to your angels, my friends. God is speaking to you. Listen and make room. Jesus is moving into your life. Only longing for your heart. That's all he wants. Will you let him in? Those are the questions that matter most this year and every year. Are you listening to your God? Are you making room for your Jesus? At the end of the day, that's all that matters. That's it. Listen. Make room. God is here. Would you pray with me? Father God, you have my ears, you have my heart, you have my life. In this Advent season and every day. And so often I'm the distracted ones who you tried to speak to and didn't hear. I'm the one who sends your messengers on to another tent because mine is a little too crowded. And so often I'm the innkeeper who just can't be bothered with one more request. And I miss the one request that would change everything. A God who only wants to be at home with me. I pray for my brothers and sisters, my friends in this place, that this Christmas, in a hard season, that it might be a new season in us, where we are making room for God to come and dwell with us. Bring us to life, bring us to love, bring us to hope, bring us to peace, and bring us to joy as Christ is born in us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.